If only everyone did everything the minute they were told to do something. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. If only everyone did everything the instant they were told to do it, what an interesting experience that would be for everyone. The ones who did it and the ones who were watching it being done. Now, what does that mean, to do everything that you're told? Does that mean you go around being obsequious, that you go around having people walk on you, people telling you what to do, and all you do is kiss their feet all the time? Is that what you do?
No.
Well, you're very definite That's about cool. that. What do you think it means?
Being harmonious with each other.
Well, what do you think it means, Ingeborg?
All is in divine order.
And what do you think it means?
Flowing.
And what do you think it means?
Being myself.
Now, to follow directions, to follow what you're directed to do, is a very difficult thing to do. We have fought from childhood on to do it because of one little thing. We were given trigger words, and trigger words have been triggering us ever since we've been little children. Ever since Ingeborg's mother said, "Get down off that counter. You're a big girl." She says, "But Mommy, I've always been sitting up on the counter." "Yeah, but now you're 16 years old. Get off that counter." And you know, her beautiful legs hanging out in front there on her short skirt, and all these people coming in to buy stamps in the place there. And her mother says, "Ingeborg, you're giving them the wrong idea, you know." And Ingeborg says, "I didn't even think about that." Now, what did Ingeborg's mother say to her? "Ingeborg, you have to stop doing that. Ingeborg, you've got to, and the word got to, you must, that's what you have to stop doing or do, is a trigger word. It triggers everybody, little children and big children. We don't want to say you must do this and you must do that, or you got to. We merely say, if you do this, this is what you can expect will happen. Now, is that good? Mm-hmm. Not bad. Still got to. But if you do this, you can expect that will happen. Now, what do you think would be the most exquisite training tool any society could ever have for its people? The most exquisite training tool that any society could have for its people is a leader or leaders who show by example what is good to do. A leader or leaders who show by example what is good to do. Now, what do we say about our politicians? We say they're crooks, you know. We say they're out to feather their own nest. Well, now, that's what we're going to believe politicians are. That's what we're going to believe, that anybody who is out to have their finger and nose in the government activity is out to feather their own nest. Now, what do you think of a woman who stands on a street corner at night all by herself? What do you think of her? Well, you think she's a woman looking for a man. Okay. Now, what if she were a mother or a person standing out there waiting for her dog to come back from the bush and then take the dog home? You say, well, what would you think if she were standing out there and waiting for a bus? Because the bus stop is right there. But the bus stop wasn't right there. The light is out over the bus stop, and so she didn't know that she was standing at another street corner, not the right one for the bus. So the buses kept going by her, not stopping, not knowing that she was waiting for a bus. Well, now, isn't that interesting? Could that ever happen? Quite easily, yeah. Mm-hmm. Does it happen? Oh, yes. You know why it happens to you, Beatrice? Because you don't know that a bus zone is painted in a certain area, and that the buses don't stop where the sign is. The sign merely tells where the bus should start stopping, and then it picks up people in that area. So you're right at the beginning of it, and by the time the bus stops, it's no longer in front of you. It's way down the way. And so you miss bus after bus. You say, well, I'm standing right here at the bus zone. Well, that's because you're unfamiliar with it. You're unfamiliar with the techniques and the ways that those things are done. Now, is Beatrice foolish? Is she stupid? Is she unaware? Is she just whatever? No. Beatrice is not even unaware. She knows the bus is there, but she doesn't know why it doesn't stop for her, you know. So, this is something that we all have to be very careful of. We have been told that we must do this and we must do that. Now, Beatrice heard from her mother, you must stand at the bus stop, at bus station, when you go to get a bus. You stand at the bus station. You stand at the bus stop, at the stop, at the stop where it says bus stop. That's where you stand. You don't stand anyplace else. Just because other people are down at another location and getting on the bus, that doesn't mean that's right for you. You stand where the bus stop, says to stop. And that's where you stand. Now, you see, after a while, Beatrice is going to think, gee, my mother, she's giving me incorrect information because I want the bus that those people are catching, and I can't get the bus that those people are catching standing back here where it says bus stop, because the bus doesn't stop here, the bus stops up there. And why the bus stops up there instead of back here is that the bus is usually so long that this includes enough area for the bus to stop in a whole place for the bus to stop. And you say, my goodness sakes, no. You must do that. Beatrice, you must stop at the bus stop. You must stand under the bus stop. Beatrice, you must do these things. Beatrice, you must put your clothes away. Beatrice, you must, you know. And Beatrice finally says, Mom, I'm having it up to here. I've just about been overloaded. And then she walks out the door, and her mom says, that ungrateful daughter of mine, you know, just does not appreciate what I'm trying to do for her. And then Jesus is standing next to her mother. You notice that? Jesus is standing next to her mother, and Jesus said, what was your mother's name, please?
Ida.
Ida?
Yeah.
E-D-A?
E-D-A.
That's right. Ida.
Yeah. I-D-A.
I-D-A.
Ida. Oh, Ida.
Ida. Ida.
Oh, yes. I had an employee named Ida who was working for my real estate firm one time. Okay, Ida, do you realize what you're doing? And Ida says, oh, who are you? And he says, well, I'm Jesus the Christ. You're Jesus the Christ? Like hell you are, you know. And he says, yes, I am. Now, Ida, you're going to raise Beatrice to be a little tiger. She's a lady. She's a wonderful girl. No, you're going to raise, she is going to be in violation to everything because she's going to have it up to here with you telling her what she must do. Now, Ida, tomorrow, I recommend, that's Jesus talking, you know. He doesn't do things like that. He talks. I recommend that you go to the bus stop with your daughter and you see how things are done here in America, because you just recently moved in. And you see how things are done. And then, after you see how things are done, then see if perhaps you are going to offer some different advice. So Ida goes down there. And on the day that Ida goes there, they have a long bus. And it covers the entire bus area. And the back end of the bus stops right where Beatrice is standing. And so Beatrice says, but Mom, this isn't the way it normally is. Well, Beatrice, don't lie to me. I'm your mother, you know. And so then Ida stomps her way back home. And she thinks to herself, what an ungrateful daughter, you know. And then, pretty soon, the mailman comes to the door. And the mailman says, well, Ida, I have a problem. And Ida says, well, what is that, sir? Well, the wheel broke on my mail little cart that I pull around, and I have to carry it on my back. Would you mind if I left my little mail cart here? Well, no, of course not. And then when I'm ready to end my route, would you accompany me to the bus stop so that I could put my mail cart on the bus and go back to the post office? Oh, sure. Glad to do that, Mr. Mailman. And so Ida now goes back in the middle of the afternoon when the bus line is not too busy, and the buses are all short. And so the bus stops way up ahead, and the mailman says, "Come on, up here, Ida, up here." And the bus stop is here. I put my daughter on here this morning, and that's what you've got to do. "Ida, we've missed three buses already. Come on, please." You know? And so finally Ida says, "All right, if that's what the way you want it, but don't tell my daughter." And so they put it on up ahead. And then Beatrice comes home and says, "Mom, I saw you and the mailman at the bus stop. What were you doing?" "And you were getting on the bus at the middle of the bus stop." "I wasn't getting on the bus. He was getting on the bus." "Well, you were helping him with his cart." "Yes, his cart wheel came off." And "Beatrice, why are you asking me these questions? Why are you interrogating me?" "Oh, ho, 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 ho." And so, you see, it backfires. It backfires. If we could learn to always say to everybody and everything, "Do what you wish. Whatever pathway you'd like to go, that's just fine." Now, what's the benefit of going that pathway or this pathway? I haven't had a chance to talk with anybody about that for a long time. Will you talk with me about it? Sure. So you sit down and talk with your daughter or your son or your husband or your wife or whomever, and you discuss the bus stop. And so you say, "Well, in Europe, in Switzerland," because Switzerland is so upstage, upgrade, you know, everything is so perfect in Switzerland, that when the bus stop says bus stop, it means that's where the bus stops. And that's true. The bus stop has a bus stop sign in the middle of the bus stop because the people get in the bus in the middle. And the painted road where you shouldn't drive is at the beginning of the bus collection area to the end of the bus collection area. But how do you describe that to somebody? You always just knew where the bus stop stopped, that's where the sign was. And so you're getting a new point of view. And so you take your daughter, Beatrice, and you say, "Beatrice, let's go to a couple of bus stops. Let's just get on and off, use our pass, you know, and we can go anywhere we want in town. In fact, I'd like to see San Diego and see the countryside a little bit here." And so the two of you go cruising around and just having a great time. You get off and get on, get off and get on. And before you know it, you're standing in the middle because that's where the door opens for the bus. The door doesn't always open on the end. You have to press a button there to open the door, and nobody's getting in and out there, so nobody's opening it for you. So you stop saying, "It's got to be that way. You've got to do this way." And so you say to yourself, "My goodness sakes, I am going to apply this in all areas of my life. Now, I'm going to show my daughter how I put my clothing away. Come to think of it, I haven't been too good about it recently. I'm going to show my kids how to sweep the garage. I'm going to show my kids how to wash the windows of the garage inside and out. I'm going to show them how to wash the windows in the house. I'm going to show them how to do all these things, and I'm going to say, 'Come, I'm going to have some fun this afternoon washing the windows. Anybody want to join me?'" And of course they'll all run, and you say, "Come on now. You're going to let your dear old mom do it all by herself, you know?" And they'll say, "Mom, we're taking the rocking chair outside. You sit there and watch, and we'll do the windows." That sounds nice, doesn't it? Okay. Now, if she gives a little bit, her family will give a lot, because she is attempting to show them that she's really sincere in being a good teacher and being a good mother. And she doesn't have to say, "Don't, can't, won't." She doesn't have to say that. Did we look up the word "won't" together? What did we look up?
Won't.
What did the word "won't" mean? Will not do? Huh?
Yes, it depends how you write it.
Yeah, but won't, W-O-N-T, will not do, and W-O-N-T means?
In
habit. That's the manner that you have been used to doing it. It's the customary way that you're doing it. Interesting definition of a word, isn't it? It is your won't. What is your husband's won't when he comes home? What is your wife's won't when she goes out to the movies? What is your wife's want when it comes to a restaurant, you know? What does your wife want when it comes to a restaurant? What is your husband's want when he goes out to a movie? What is his habit, his program? What is the want, you know, the want, W-O-N-T. But, you see, if we were to discuss it and say that's what it is, then we would leave the door open for nothing. But if we say, hey, does it really say that? That sounds interesting. I like that double definition there. And what's a double definition sometimes called? A word with two definitions that are different. A double entendre. Double entendre.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You've heard of that, huh? Double entendre. You see, when I learned English, when I learned German, I learned the heavy words easiest. The technical words, the large words, because there's nothing to think about them. They had one purpose, and so you learned them easily. And then the little words, you know, like I, me, you, they, we, us, you know, ich, they,
do,
darn, so forth, you know, that has a lot of variation to it. And what do they all mean? I, ich.
Du, er, sie, es.
Uh-huh.
Ich, du, er, sie, es.
That's I.
Ich, du, er.
No, I.
Ich.
I am. See, in English, we just have the I. Now, how many times do you have the I in German? Ich bin? Yeah. Well, that's just once. Just once. Yeah. Ich liebe dich. Yeah. But that doesn't mean anything either, does it? So, remember now, the best way to teach is to be a good example. And the best way to be a good example is to believe in what you're an example of. So, be a good example and have fun in life. And you will not be a challenge to yourself or anyone else. And know that with that, I love you. I love you.
I love you.